Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. This is Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God. And we're talking about justice and freedom and liberty and hue and cry. And we're going to focus on a topic that went out on our newsletter last night. And actually, we sent out an earlier little blurb on it, but we now have a webpage up at preparingyou.com. And it's at our newsletter. And you can also find it by just searching the words Free Justina. Of course, it's about this Justina Pelletier. And we have just a brief comment on that situation in Massachusetts and Connecticut. And she was a 15-year-old girl who had some medical problems, went to doctors. They were getting it sorted out. And she got the flu after performing in an ice skating event. And she ended up at the doctor's office. And because of some of the original medical problems that she had, she went to the specialist that they have there at Huff University. And the surgeon who had treated her because of a problem with obstruction of bowels, she had extra tissue on her bowels. It's a genetic thing, and he had supposedly fixed this to some degree. And she was doing better. Like I said, she was ice skating. And many of you may have heard this story already. It's just broken the news in the last week. There was some news about it a while ago, but the father's been under a gag order. This is a common, and I will use the word trick, used in courts. I've been in courts for the last 50 years, off and on with my father originally, who was an attorney, and helping other people out who have had their property and their land and their rights and their children taken away from them. And I've helped them out over the years. And I don't give legal advice or anything, but I know how the system works just because I've been rubbing shoulders and bumping into it from time to time. And there's a lot of injustice going on. My father saw it. My father told me about it. He quit the law many times because he was so disgusted with it and tried to arrange his career so that he wasn't dealing with all the corruption and could have a little bit more control. He wouldn't be a partner anymore. But there is a great deal of corruption, and there's a reason why there's a great deal of corruption. And this is just one more story in thousands of stories that are ongoing daily. I mean, I get calls in the middle of the night, people had their children taken away from them. And everybody, you know, squeals like a stuck pig when it happens to them. But the reality is why didn't you squeal when it was happening to your neighbor? Because it's happening to somebody's neighbor right now somewhere else. You don't have to be in Massachusetts or Connecticut or any of these places. Children's Services is another institution of great deal of power. They don't need to get court orders like everybody else. They're not answerable like everybody else. And when they pool their power in conjunction with university hospitals, it's unbelievable the amount of power that they can wield. And power corrupts. And Justina is getting the brunt of that corruption. She no longer walks under the treatment of this hospital. She was doing great before this hospital started treating her. And they didn't treat her for what other medical doctors, expert medical doctors, had treated her for and improved her condition. They treated her for something called somatoform disorder, which is another word we have, Munchausen by proxy kind of diseases that people come up with. And there is some truth in some of these things, but, you know, the medical industry is not immune to quackery. You can get a diploma in quackery, and if you got a diploma, they don't call it quackery. They call it something else. But quackery is born out of vanity, where people think they know. They think they have the answer. Well, you mix that vanity with power, and you're going to get an injustice. So anyway, she was taken away from her parents. They just suddenly decided that what had been her problem wasn't her problem. And they were going to treat her for something else, as if she had a mental disorder. That she had some... And they did this. They decided to do this almost immediately. They didn't spend years testing. They didn't do exploratory surgery. They just decided this is something else. This is just a mental... This is a figment of the girl's imagination caused by her parents and her reaction to the controlling nature of her parents. They just decided this. And, you know, they might have done some testing, but it's interesting that that hospital actually hired, in another branch of their administration, one of her doctors, which is why they went to the Massachusetts clinic instead of to the regular hospital. They actually went to the regular hospital first, but because the surgeon who had performed the surgery on her that had improved her condition was now working over in Massachusetts at this other hospital, Boston's Children's Hospital. So they moved her over there so that he could deal with, you know, if there were any complications, because she has this little stent in her side, and the flu, sometimes, you know, you can get violent flus, and they wanted to make sure that nothing was out of order during this. And I have a suspicion that the family goes to doctors too easily, but you can get into trouble not going quick enough, and you can get into trouble going too quick. But that's a personal opinion. I would never take the daughter away from them. They are loving parents. They care about their child. They're not feeding her Drano in her soup like you see with some of these people. And some of the laws that they have, some of the power they have given Children's Services is because occasionally you'll find parents that are completely wacko and they're endangering, or they may not even be parents. They might be like a boyfriend of a girl who has a baby. And the child is actually in physical danger at a given moment in time. And to wait until a judge can examine the facts may be too late. And so they said, if you think that's the case, they passed a law that says you get to take the child away right away. And if you've already introduced the child into the jurisdiction of a hospital, this can happen rather rapidly. And you have no defense. Most of you have no defense because you have no network. You have nobody backing you up. Maybe a few friends and family. This girl's got family that cares about her. She's got sisters. Some of them have the same problem. And they're familiar with it. And they know that their parents are decent parents. But the hospital knows everything. The hospital has gods working there. They can decide what is good and evil. And even though that you can find lots of doctors that thinks that she has this other problem, and it's not somatoform disorder, that it's another problem entirely. Anyway, in the custody and control of the Boston Children's Hospital, she has gone from being a proficient ice skater to a wheelchair. And she's losing her hair. Her gum line is receding. She is suffering emotional and physical harm. She, you know, I won't go into all the details. I'll let you go to our website at preparingyou.com. Just look up for Free Justina up there in the search engine. It'll open up the page. And there's videos and audios and articles. And you can look. And since the father has come out and spoken up against the court order, and this, we've seen this. I've got 40 years experience. Well, longer than that with the legal system, but with specifically children being taken from their parents by overzealous and sometimes malicious Children's Services. And I'm not saying everybody in Children's Services is this way, but there's enough that the atrocities go on in California and Oregon and Kansas and Missouri, Texas, Alabama. These are just cases that are flipping through my head from my memory, from cases that I personally dealt with. I have flashes of the children who are ripped out of their mother's arms by Children's Services or by police at the command of Children's Services ordering this. Coming into a private home of a former prosecuting attorney who is giving shelter to this mother and her daughter, They came in and dragged the mother, while she was taking a shower, out of the shower on a raid, sprayed her with pepper spray. The child screaming and yelling, taking it away. This child had suffered no harm till Children's Services came. This is a malicious and vindictive action of Children's Services. Another family out of Grants Pass, maliciously abused and separated and divided. Now, I'm not going to say that all these parents had no problems. Many of them did have some emotional problems. Some of them had financial problems. Some of them had marital problems. Some of them had some goofy ideas about child rearing that I myself wouldn't do. But the children were not necessarily at all in danger. But the trauma being ripped from your parents' hands, taken away for months, year at a time, traumatized, put with strangers. I also have a lot of experience with people in foster care. And there are some people in foster care that are genuinely good people, and sometimes better than the parents that the children were with before. And I don't want to defame those people. But the fact is that the system is, I mean, I can name you stories where a child in foster care was eating out of a garbage because the foster parents had several children there, and they actually had a padlock on the refrigerator, and the children were literally being starved. Now, these children were overseen by a social worker, yet the child's growth was visibly stunted from starvation. I mean, like inches of growth did not occur during the custody and care of this foster parent, who was literally starving the children to death. They were malnutritioned. And there was literally a padlock on the refrigerator. And the child, finally was brought to the attention of a neighbor when the neighbor caught the children eating out of his garbage can. This is under the control of Children's Services. Children are raped. Children are abused in Children's Services. It's a huge, monstrous industry. Not all children? No. But it happens. It happens statistically, according to government statistics, more often in the hands and custody of Children's Services than it does in the private sector. You're asking the government to do something it cannot do. And you're asking the government to do it because you will not do it. You will not love your neighbor as yourself. You will not care for your neighbor as yourself. And so you're creating this problem. You're magnifying the problem through your apathy and sloth for your lack of hue and cry in society. Now, you're not going to make these institutions go away. You've created these golems. I talked in a program earlier about the golem. These institutions, these monstrous institutions, by giving them more power than they should have. And corrupt people. I mean, if you're a pedophile, where do you want to work? Children's Services. Where you have power and control. I shouldn't say this on the air. I hope there's not many pedophiles listening to our show. I don't imagine that we attract their attention. But the reality is that's what you want to do. You want to be a school teacher or work for Children's Services. Children's Services especially, because you have tremendous power in Children's Services. You can take children away. You can falsify documents. Everybody will, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the corruption, you know, and I was thinking of a few of the books and movies about corrupt police officers. Now, a lot of police officers are good, but they have power too, and there's corruption that creeps in. And even decent police officers will either back or not stand up against the corruption because they have a sense of loyalty to one another. That this loyalty is created because of their work environment and the nature. Because their loyalty is not to righteousness. This is what you have to watch about any institution, any government, any blind patriotism. You need to have your loyalty to righteousness, not to an institution. Your allegiance must be to righteousness, not to an institution. You need to make a practice of living by faith, and then you won't fear speaking up because you might lose your pension. On another program I did, I talked about someone who went into a hospital in an emergency and they had a baby delivered. And it was a very traumatic event and everything. It was an emergency rush into the hospital and and long ways away from the hospital. And they got there, and the baby was delivered, and the baby was fine. But it was a little bit of a traumatized birth, but not traumatic any more than any other normal birth. I mean, it was a little bit longer, but my wife has long labors until we discovered that often the baby was not in the right position. Amazing the number of people that we had helping us. You know, we've had six kids. And we didn't really know a lot about repositioning a baby when we started out. We got pretty knowledgeable of it by the time we had the sixth one. And my daughter has become extremely knowledgeable of it. And there are other people out there that even know more. And if you want to know more, go to spinningbabies.com. These people are teaching you. You need to learn this if you intend to ever have children. You need to learn this, how to get that baby in the right position, because you'll go from a 35-hour labor down to an 8-hour labor if you can get that baby in the right position. And it'll make a big difference. But anyway, they needed the baby delivered, and they got the baby delivered. But another doctor in the same hospital, but in another division, tried to take over because he hates the idea of home birth or anything like that. He hates it. And he's not a very nice man. And none of the nurses liked him. They all would talk about how they hate that guy. But they would do it with whispers. They don't want to talk about it out loud because they don't want to get into trouble. But they know he's bad. The administration seems to think he's okay. But why does the administration think he's okay and all the nurses who have to work with him think that he's bad? It's because he has the same spirit as the administration. If you love power more than you love people, you're gonna be promoted in the hospital administration because it's about money and it's about control and it's about power. So that you're gonna end up high up in the institution if you're someone who seeks power. There's a fellow named Adam who does a lot of talk about these different personalities that raise themselves up as CEOs and what you really want, because you'll get men of power that get up there, but it will bring down the company eventually. They will have a burst of success when they get there, but they will undermine the company itself. I can't remember his whole name. I think his last name is Adam, but very interesting guy, a networking guy, college professor, who actually stumbled into this field because he was actually asked to work somewhere and deal with, it was actually, I think his first job was to, they had a bunch of people calling up from a university to get donations, and he went and started working with that, and he did a number of experiments as to how to motivate these people, because they had this tremendous attrition rate where they would hire people and they wouldn't last very long, you know, a matter of weeks, and they would want to quit because it was such a difficult job to call up and ask for money for the college. And so he tried different things to motivate them. And he stumbled on some very interesting things, that people need to have a motivation, a noble motivation to do this. And they not only increase the amount of donations, but they decreased the amount of attrition rate. The people were not quitting because they had motivation. And how did they get that motivation? And what gave them the best motivation? He actually had students who were there on scholarship programs, because that's what they were doing, is asking for donations for the scholarship program, which is actually asking for donations for the college. And it's a bit of a racket, in my opinion, anyways. But the fact is, what he discovered was very interesting, is that there's this natural thing in us that wants to help the underdog achiever, and that needs to be cultivated, because that's part of your survival instinct as a society. You know, there's a lot of people out there who want to do charity for people, but they'll do it for the undeserving poor, the lazy, fat, irresponsible, self-indulgent people. They will give them money, and you know, the bad parents, they will help them out. But the hard-working, industrious people that actually just have trouble because of circumstances sometimes beyond their control, they're often overlooked by the system. They're not helped out. Why is that? There's actually, you know, you think you live in a physical world with tables and chairs and structures all around you and walls, and you do. Those things, you know, most of the wall is vacant space. Most of the, even an iron plate that are bars in front of you, most of that is vacant space. But you can't pass through that physically, so you say it's solid. But what you really live in is a spiritual world. You're just unaware of it. And so birds of a feather flock together. And so when you go into a place like a hospital, which is a place of power, they have tremendous power there. And when you sign in, they have tremendous power to make decisions on your behalf. They can take your children away. And if you couple their power, the power of children's services, they can just snatch your children out of your hands. And you haven't done anything wrong. You know, a boy climbing on things like a car and falls off and breaks his arm, you can go in and it can turn in, and I'm giving you live situations, it can turn into you broke his arm. This is child abuse. Things that you did never happen, they can start to assume it, the worst of you, and it can set a chain of action. If you react in the wrong way without the full armor of God, it can set a chain of reactions by the system that will eat you up and destroy your family from an absolutely innocent event. And I've seen it. Vindictive comments by a young kid who's kind of upset with their parents because their parents didn't let them go out and stay out real late at night, and they said, no, you have to be home at a certain time. And so in a particular condition, the daughter says something that's not true. But it sets in motion, it gives her power through these agencies, and she begins to destroy the lives of her parents. And she won't repent. And finally, when she does admit it to a relative that she made up the whole story of what she said, she just made a comment and then it led to a story and she invented the story, and next thing you know, the father's being arrested and all this stuff. When she finally quietly admits, and she's going through tremendous guilt and everything, and she won't admit it out in the open, but she finally gets the confidence of another relative who's helping take care of her because she can't go back to her parents anymore and all this stuff. And she finally quietly, in a moment of guilt, admits she made up the whole thing. She made it all up. Never happened what she was accusing. And it got worse and worse what she was accusing her father of, and it never happened. And she admitted this. And so the relative goes to the district attorney and tells him, well, he's already spent thousands of hours or hundreds of hours and thousands of dollars on prosecuting this guy. He's already set in his mind that this guy is a terrible child molester, none of which ever happened. And the other daughter eventually comes out and admits that none of it ever happened and that her sister had told her that it didn't happen, and that she was just mad at him because he wouldn't let her stay out late with her boyfriend. He wanted her home by 10 o'clock. And so she was thought she would get back and say something, and then it got out of control. I can give you case after case after case where somebody says something to a policeman or to somebody in power, and it's taken the wrong way or it's taken too far, and then it developed a life of its own, and it comes back and destroys the very family. And so she regretted that she had said it, but now it had taken a life of its own, and the district attorney wasn't going to let it go. He was going to push it. I could just go through hundreds of these cases. Another case where somebody makes their living accusing people. They did it when they were younger, and they got away with it. So now they're older, and they said they're doing it, accusing people of molesting their daughter. And they actually, that when you investigate this accusation, and then she wants to get paid something to go away, and she gets paid. She does it with somebody in Southern California. She does it with somebody in Northern California. She does it with somebody up in Portland. She does it with somebody here in mid-Oregon. And he's getting thrown into jail, and he hasn't done a thing. You get all these cases. I mean, like, why are all these people molesting her and then molesting her daughter? And now her daughter's old enough to talk, and her daughter says, no, nothing ever happened. Oh, we're not going to listen to her. Her own mother calls up the district attorney and says to the district attorney, my daughter, I mean, not her mother, but it'd be the grandmother of the girl, and the mother to the woman who's bringing these accusations and making her living off of this. She says that my daughter makes a living suing men that she falsely accuses of molestation. She's collected tens of thousands of dollars that the mother knew of by falsifying these accusations and settling out of court most of the time. The district attorney hangs up on her. She calls back and gets a hold of, you know, another attorney and says, my daughter's doing it again right now. While this case is still pending with one gentleman who never molested the girl, I've talked to both of them personally and privately, and they're absolutely adamant that none of this ever happened. His entire life, he lost everything he owns. But while he was being prosecuted and beat up by the system who were convinced he was guilty and hanging up on people who had evidence that he was innocent, she was doing it again to another man in Colorado. She already had a lawsuit against another man for molesting the same daughter who wasn't even with her. It's just astounding. This goes on all the time. Millions of dollars, lives destroyed. And why? Because there's no hue and cry. Because people think they're Christians, but they don't actually love their neighbor as themselves. So anyway, we're going to talk more about this when we come back from the break. But you have to think of one thing. What are you going to do when it happens to you? Because it's happening to thousands of people all the time. But anyway, we'll talk about that when we come back.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. the books, the covenants of the gods, and thy kingdom come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
Okay, well, welcome back, and we're going to look at what do we do about this. Just to throw out a few statistics on this case with Justina, this is just one little tiny case. It just happens to be getting hot in the news right now, but most of the cases you never hear of. As a matter of fact, there's been hundreds of deaths in the hands of children's services in different states, and they go unreported. They literally go unreported. I mean, they even have one just recently where a child just disappeared and they didn't even know she disappeared. And they just fall through the cracks. And some of these are infants. I mean, there's horrible cases out there and you can go through it and everybody can get all worked up and emotional, but how does that solve the problem? It doesn't. I'm just letting you know there is a problem. 2010, Children's Rights in New York, based nonprofit organization, advocating the rights of children, filed a class action suit, which I think they call it the Connor B. versus Patrick Children's Rights. And they represent 8,500 children that they suffered under the hands of DCF. And the negligence is part of it, but there's actual overt abuse, even death in many instances, has been caused by the way in which children are treated. And why are they, you know, we think, well, no, who would do that? Well, you're ignorant if you don't think that happens. It does happen. Terrible abuse happens on a regular basis. But it happens because your apathy. You're not doing it, but you're letting it happen. And you're letting it happen because you're not dealing with the problem. You think somebody else is supposed to deal with the problem. And this is the same reason why your food is being contaminated recently. Mike Adams came out with an article talking about there isn't, you know, we've all but lost the war. There isn't any food that you can buy in the store that isn't contaminated with one serious problem or another. What are you going to do about that? Well, you can protest. You can start growing your own. Somebody else sent, they just discovered that there's this huge seed bank in Norway. And it's not the only place that they have these seed banks. It's just one of the more publicized one, and it's, you know, bored into the side of a mountain high above sea level and bored into this frozen glacier where they keep the seeds of thousands of plants safe for in case there's a global holocaust. Well, when there's a global holocaust and you need seeds, I don't think you're going to get any of those seeds. And it's really a drop in the bucket, even though they have lots and lots of seeds, it's a drop in the bucket. And I talked in an earlier show about back in 500 AD, millions upon millions of people died all around the world in a huge catastrophe, and you hardly even know about it. And one of the reasons you hardly even know about it is so darn scary, nobody wants to talk about it. But what was the catastrophe? There was no summer. There just was no summer. Winter just kept on going. It was winter all summer long, and winter next winter, and a lot of winter the next summer. Lasted for about 18 months of severe cold weather with no real crops. Crops failed everywhere. In one province of China, 80% of the people died. They were eating each other because of this huge global catastrophe. Global cooling. Not warming, global cooling. The Earth eventually readjusted, but millions of people were already dead. And the adjustment actually took, you know, more than a decade to come back. And there were a lot of repercussions of that. Starvation brought about plagues of different types of animals, where some animals died out. And I mean, there were whole crops, trees died that can't take, you know, cold weather. Frost went way south because, and the sun disappeared. You could hardly see the sun. The sun didn't give its light. The sky was so covered with something that caused acid rain. Because they actually went to places like Greenland and bored down. And they got to this particular time in history, around 500 AD. And they came up with acid snow. Sulfuric acid in the snow. Well, what's causing that? Well, most people think it was volcanic ash. There have been a number of theories. But it would have had to have been more than one volcano go off at one time, so there had to be several things that caused these volcanoes to go off. And I've done shows about this. The volcanoes and earthquakes are directly related to events on the sun. You can't do anything about that. So catastrophes happen in society. And if something like that were to happen today, billions would die. That's right, billions would die. And not nicely, not gently in a hospital on morphine. You're going to die horrible deaths. And it could happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen today or tomorrow, but it could happen. And you're not ready for it. And you're not going to get access to those seeds in that vault up there in, I guess it's in Norway. That's not for you. That's for the elite. What can you do about it? Nothing. Nothing about that. But you can do something about the way in which you relate to society. Remember when I was talking, you think you live in a world of solid objects? You live in a spiritual world. And when you align yourself with a certain spirit, you are drawn into the thinking of that spirit. This is why people, you know, you get around people who smoke and chew and stuff like that. You'll end up smoking and chewing. Because you're not tied to principles. Even your thinking. What you see, your cognitive dissonance, is caused by the fact that you're connected invisibly with the thinking of other people. And the whole world has been moving away from righteousness and thinking in unrighteous ways, where it's okay to covet, it's okay, don't worry about it, that's not your responsibility, it's okay to be slothful. And you have to turn around from that and start connecting yourself with the other spirit and character of society. Another spiritual character of society. One that is to do with righteousness. You need to connect with that spirit. Now, how do you do that? Well, free Justina. You know, everybody who lives within 10 miles of Boston Hospital should get together, and they should be able to do this in a matter of minutes. You know, maybe in hours, maybe a day. They should be able to organize themselves. Every single church that claims to believe in Christ should gather together their spokesmen, their ministers, who are all networking together, not 40,000 denominations, and they say, call up Children's Hospital and say, you want to know what's going on. Get a hold of the Father. Get a waiver that you are now, you're now can get access to the information about this child as if she was your own. You now have not a medical decision and power of attorney, but you have the medical right to the records. the power of attorney to the right to the records. Build his trust. You have to know him. He has to be in your network. And then you can send somebody down, a spokesman for you. Thousands of so-called Christians will find out if you're Christians if you do this. And you can go down to the hospital and say, I want to know what's going on with this child. I want to consult with the physicians that are making the decisions. I want to hear their side of the story. Or I'm going to show up here tomorrow with 10,000 Christians. I mean, supposed to be a Christian town, Boston. And I'm going to get a hold of every single donor to this hospital. We're going to all call, you know, but you, the, right now, you guys, there's a lot of people making noises. Glenn Beck called people to action, and there are people doing things. And it's shaking them up. But it's still helter-skelter, disorganized. If you can't organize yourselves, not an organization of power, but an organization of service, where everybody is meeting to find out what can we do to bring righteousness to our community. If you're not doing that, you're not following Christ. You don't care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself. Justina is your daughter. It's not his daughter. It's your daughter. All these children, these 8,500 children that have been abused in the system, they're your children. But don't look to the system. The system is the problem. Because you've given the system, you've centralized power. You've given Olga Roach, the commissioner, too much power in children's services. And that power has corrupted her. There are all kinds of senators and congressmen that want to remove her from her position of power, but they can't because somebody else has got power and he's protecting her, the governor. But now with this new information that's coming out and this new publicity, but you know, you have to guard against this being a shot in the dark where everybody gets excited about something because this is what to be excited about this week, and then you forget all about it next week. You have to get involved. You have to become a participant on a daily basis. You have to be as concerned every day about your neighbor as much as you are concerned about yourself and your own children. And the only way to do this is what you should be doing in church. You don't go to church to feel good and hear sermons that tell you that you're saved. You go to church to do good. And church isn't a building. It's, you know, Jesus said you had to attend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Better that you leave off the other stuff and do that. Well, injustice is taking place every day to thousands of children, to adults, to parents. And you're not doing anything about it. Because you're singing. Stop singing. Don't sing again until there's justice in the land for children and parents alike. Now, if you're not already doing that and something happens to you and you need help, I want you to feel real guilty about coming and asking for help. Now, since we put up our webpage, more and more people are hitting it every hour. Like I said, you can go to preparingyou.com and you can see that. But hopefully we're gonna be putting up more and more of pages like that and bringing people's attention to injustice wherever it may occur. Wherever there is injustice, you will find us. Because we want to be friend to all man. And we want to do this as a network, as a people who care about each other. And that's really what Christ was talking all about. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That's not just an emotional love. That's a get the job done kind of love. Somebody's getting beaten up and in the ditch. And you're thinking, oh, I got to go to church. I got to go praise the Lord. He's going to say, get ye from me, you workers of iniquity. Somebody's poisoning your food supply. Somebody's poisoning your seed supply. And you're not doing anything about it. I mean, I know there are listeners out there, at least on some of the stations that we are heard on, where our programs are heard on lots of different stations. Some of them are actually trying to do something about it. And they can struggle in the political arena if they want. But I think you better have a plan B. You need to have a network of people who care about each other, and every one of them is growing some seed in their backyard or in their fields. CSAs, community-supported agriculture, community agriculture, gardens in your backyard. Learn how to do that. Learn how to preserve the seeds. There's a lot to it. It's not hard. It's not rocket science, but there's a lot to it. Know how who who the other people are who care about their neighbor as much, because they've actually come to meetings to find out what they could do. They didn't come to meetings to find out what you could do for them. They came to meetings to find out what they could do for you. Now, what do you do for people? Do you give them everything they want? Every time they have a problem, a shortage, a shortfall, do you give them what they are asking for? Or do you give them what they need? You have to ask questions. Somebody said the other day on the network, charity has no agenda. Bull! Charity has an agenda. Charity has a very specific agenda. Charity has the agenda to strengthen the poor. That's the agenda of charity, to strengthen the poor. If your charity is not strengthening the poor, if it's making people weak, it's making people dependent, it is making people comfortable in their foolishness, your charity is foolish. And not charity at all, but a disservice. Sometimes the nicest thing you can do to somebody is rebuke them, scold them. I give them a lollipop every time they're lazy. But how do you do this? How do you know where to do this? People say, I don't know what to do. Gather together. Get active. I mean, you don't have to go and, you know, storm the hospital with pitchforks and scythes. But you have to show your support. Now, they're trying to get legal aid, and that's fine. They probably need some legal help. I mean, you can't have the father put in jail because he actually spoke up. See, this is what they do. They'll swoop in. I know a lady who had a baby, and she had to go across the state line to have the baby. She lived right on the border, and the closest hospital was across the state line. Geographically, that's how she lived. She lived real close to the state line. And the closest hospital was on the other side of the border of the state. So she went to that hospital. That was the closest one. And when she was in that hospital, you know, she was going to breastfeed her baby and all this kind of stuff. And she had several children already and all this stuff. And somebody got it in their head that she was abusing her child. And never. We have explored and explored. We have never found any evidence of that. They've never produced any evidence. It seems to all go back to the fact that she was going to nurse her baby, and somehow or other, somebody got it in their head. This is probably 12 years ago, 13 years ago. Got it in their head that the idea of nursing your baby is somehow child abuse. We're getting away from that now. It's becoming more and more popular, and people are getting less and less freaked out about the idea that you're actually going to use those breasts for what they're meant to be used for. But anyway, they tried to take the baby away, and they were going to seize it, and they weren't going to release it to her when she was going to go home. And she had to go home and take care of the other kids. I mean, she had a husband. Her husband was there too, but he worked in the other state. She lived in the other state. And the children's services from this state at the hospital suddenly thought there was evidence of child abuse. Never been to her house. Never interviewed her neighbors, never interviewed any children. She just decided this, and they took the child away. Now, we got the child back eventually. But before, she was all upset. She's not going to be able to nurse the baby. She can't stay at that hospital. And this is one of the problems. She didn't put on the full armor of God. And you don't know how to do that, most of you. When you enter into these situations, and I was telling somebody about this, and I've been in this situation. You know, when you go into some of these, people are always asking me to come when they're in trouble. I wish people would call before they're in trouble and tell me they want to come and help out others. But usually I hear from people when they're already into trouble. And so you're going into places like courts and hospitals and stuff like that. And they don't understand how this works. They don't see the spiritual realm. And I was telling them that it's getting so that, you know, you go into some of these situations where somebody is already being devoured by some institution of power that you have created by your apathy or avarice. And you go in there and it's like you're walking in jello. I mean, like the whole room is like jello, evil jello up to the roof. And you can feel it. You can cut it with a knife. You can actually, as you approach a room where the evil is centering, you can sense it's there. Now, I have been able to, not because of any power I have, but because I pray. And when I go into these situations, I can sense it, and you can go in there. And you can pass through it as if you're passing through a wall. But it's like a wall of evil, and you can see how they poke at people to get them upset. And they'll have you carried out of the hospital physically, and you'll think, oh my gosh, we're living a tyranny and all this stuff. You have no idea where the power that they have to do this is coming from. You think it's some sort of legal law they passed? I can show you the legal law, but that's not where the real power is. Changing the law is not going to give you your power back or your rights back. It's becoming attached to the spirit of righteousness, to have a communion daily with the spirit of righteousness, to do things because it's righteous, not because you go to this church or that church or you read the Bible, but because you're actually have a communion and relationship with the spirit of righteousness. You can't get, I've told this story before, I think even on this station, but, and of course we have different listeners all the time, but the reality is that if you play the game on their level, they will eat you up alive. If you play it on Christ's level, you'll be able to walk in there, and the evilest man there will not be able to move against you, because you have on the armor of God, not because of anything you've done. This has to be from a very humble point of view. You need that power. Well, you're completely unpracticed and unskilled in that power for all intents and purposes. All of you have probably had some experience with it as you were growing up, but you've forgotten how to really deal with evil. Resist not evil, I say. You let God do the resisting. You go in there and you bring the Holy Spirit, which is love and forgiveness and caring about others. So you need to start practicing that, caring about others, caring about Justina, caring about those 8,500 children that are abused in child care, caring about the children that are abused by crackheads. Just not too long ago, there was a husband and wife on welfare, played video games all day because they had the check coming in, had a baby. Baby was malnourished, not taken care of. It sat in its car seat for 8 days. 8 days, it died of starvation, malnutrition, dehydration, and its bowels were actually eating it, the bacteria in its bowels, because nobody changed it. They were playing video games. These are parents. You know, so the atrocities happen everywhere, but why is that? Because the spirit of darkness is upon the land, because you've lost the mystery of what made America great. It wasn't the Constitution. It wasn't democracy. It wasn't even a democracy. It was supposed to be a republic. It was people who got up and cared about their families and cared about their neighbors and sacrificed themselves and their lives and their time and their energy to make the hue and cry when there was injustice in their community and in their country and in their state. And the reason that injustice is so pervasive today, hidden away behind all the TV that you watch that doesn't really show you the injustices that are taking place, except if it sells toothpaste, you're oblivious to it. You don't see it. And you don't see it because you don't gather together. I've been to the meetings, hundreds of them, but can't talk more about that. Gather together, meet us at thelivingnetwork.org or preparingyou.com and join the network in your area and start finding out how to face evil and get it to back down. Till then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net. Thank you.